It is truly a delight to be here with you and to be sharing in your service, to represent missions to you. I am humbled by even the request. I am a pastor. That's been my calling. I have participated in missions by raising money for many, many, many years. That missions giving, which is what this is really all about today, is to inform and to inspire, to raise money for missions. But then to have traveled many, many places around the world to be a part of what God is doing is an amazing reality. And you've done that as a church. You've sent out more mission teams as an individual church than I believe any other church on this district. You are to be commended, and you are an inspiration for the rest of us. I know while I pastored at Ephrata, I would often say to our missions group, we need to learn from Mifflinburg. They are getting the job done. We need to learn. And so I'm not here just to tell you something, but to learn from you. I thoroughly enjoyed last night. I thought that was an amazing time together. I met a group of men and women who love God. They love God with all their heart, and it shows. They love missions, and they love to have fun. And all of those things were right down my alley, and I thoroughly enjoyed our time together. Appreciate so much being with your pastor and wife. He has been a friend of mine for a long time. I watched him come to the district. I knew Debbie's parents, and they pastored at Reading, and I was at Effort at the time, just a few miles apart. So I got to know them as one of the first pastors I got to know on the district was your parents. And then I watched when Wayne and Debbie came to the district as very young people. Not old yet, but you're getting there. just like the rest of us, one day at a time, right? And I've watched him mature into an incredible leader on our district, serve with him now on the advisory board, and just appreciate him and his leadership and the way he helps and to make things happen on the district. What an event it is for me to be here in your church, to sense the atmosphere, the anticipation of what's going to happen, the work that you're doing. I remember when we renovated, and boy, that's an exciting time, isn't it? Just to see something happen, that's always exciting. But our objective today is to focus again on what we're doing for missions. And I believe before we finish this service, God is going to speak to you about what you're to do for missions next year. God doesn't want us to just sit here and say, well, okay, I got 10 bucks I can give to missions maybe every week or two. I think God speaks clearly to us about what he wants us to do. And before the end of this service, I really believe God's going to whisper to you, so listen with your spiritual ears as God speaks to you about what you're to do for missions in the year to come. At the end of the service, we're going to use the commitment cards. I think you've received those already. We're going to use those at the end, but keep those in front of you so that God can speak. And when he speaks, it's very appropriate for you to take your pen or pencil out, write down on the bottom of that what God is telling you he wants you to give for missions in this next year. The missions work of the Church of the Nazarene is one of the most successful things that we have done. We've done a lot of good things in the church, and I'm excited as today as I've ever been in my life to be a part of the Church of the Nazarene. We have a message that ministers, that changes lives, allows people to become established in the work of the kingdom, and allows them to become soul winners in the world. Our lesson, one of the major lessons that we're learning is that the gospel of Jesus Christ truly changes people. We set out in our earliest days to fulfill the Great Commission when Jesus said to us, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We're learning the power of the gospel from the mission field in amazing ways, and I'll be talking about that in many different ways this morning. But one of the most recent lessons that I've followed from the church is that we are learning to do some statistical examinations of what we do. What are we doing that really works, and what are we doing that doesn't work so well, so that we become as efficient and effective as we possibly can. One of those statistical examinations was to look at the nation of Bangladesh. If you don't know the story of Bangladesh, Bangladesh is one of our fastest growing mission fields. We pulled out of Bangladesh during the Great Depression. Do you remember that? I don't remember that. It's before my time. Yours too, right? Yeah. Maybe a few of you do, but at this point, most of those that were a part of the Great Depression are getting well up into years or have already gone on to be with the Lord. But we pulled out of Bangladesh, and then a few years ago, a pastor came to America, went to school here, discovered the Church of the Nazarene, went back home, and began to plant churches in Bangladesh. They worked with the Jesus film. I'm not sure how all those pieces come together, but they took the Jesus film, and the Jesus film began an explosion of evangelism in Bangladesh. I'm not going to talk about how many people have been won to Christ. Somebody else that knows more about that than I do can tell you that. But I love statistics. And they begin, they said, we want to find out, because there are three groups of believers in Bangladesh. There are Muslims, Hindus, and Christians. And we're winning people that have backgrounds in each of those religions. Which of those, when we win them to Christ, which ones of those are most clearly transformed and have the greatest depth of belief and service to the Lord? And so they did a statistical study, and they discovered that there were about equal number of converts, when you talk about just converts, from each of those three. They wouldn't be exactly the same, but they were pretty much the same. And then as they did further research, they discovered that those that come from which group do you think would be the strongest and most committed and, quote, last the longest, if that's a proper phrase. I'm not sure that's a good phrase, but which group do you think it would be? And I'm sure all of you have an answer. Most amazingly, they found that those who are converted from the Muslim faith are the most profoundly changed and make a greater impact and serve Christ longer than any other group. That's amazing, isn't it? It simply tells us that based on our background and where we've come from, we either have an impact or we don't have so much of an impact. We're experiencing that in America. We are not very effective right now. We're not winning our American culture to Christ. In fact, most of us feel we're going the other direction, right? Sadly. We as a church have an amazing story in the fact that we began to send out missionaries from the very first. In fact, we had missionaries on the field when the Church of the Nazarene was organized. Isn't that amazing? We were on three different mission fields when the Church of the Nazarene came together. And we've been so effective in missions work that about 5, 6, 7 years ago, somewhere in that range, we actually realized that we have more Nazarenes and what we used to call foreign mission fields than we have in the United States and Canada. And some people said, well, that's not very good. My reaction was, that's the best news I've ever heard, because I've been giving money all my life to send missionaries and to support missionaries and the work of missions around the world. And today, the Church of the Nazarene, while we're not doing as well in America, we are seeing a turnaround, by the way. We do have some good stories to tell. Some of those I'll talk a little bit about today. And then some we'll hear about at District Assembly next week about what's going on in our district. My prayer is that we do turn around, but in the meantime, it's exciting to me to realize we are being incredibly effective in many, many places around the world in winning people to Jesus Christ. Because that's what God has called us to do, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to make disciples. It's amazing to me how God has worked through our efforts from our very beginning, from the inception of the Church of the Nazarene. Missions have been managed through our general church. In the earliest days of the Church of the Nazarene, when we look at our history, it's really very, very interesting. And very seldom have I ever taken the time to go back and look at what we have done and how we have done it in the Church of the Nazarene. And I love it when my pages won't turn. That's a fun thing. I don't know why. There we go. But in our earliest days in the Church of the Nazarene, when we came together as a denomination, the folks in Rhode Island, who were one of the major groups that came in to form the Church of the Nazarene, they already had a missionary society. They called it the Women's Missionary Society. How many of you remember when the Church of the Nazarene had the Women's Missionary Society? How many of you still remember that? Well, there are about four or five of us that are still old enough around that remember that. Not too many. But the Women's Missionary Society was how the missions began in the Church of the Nazarene. And their focus was multifaceted, but they tended to be hands-on here in the U.S. to help supply and to meet the need on the fields. They rolled bandages, they spent time in prayer, and in other means of support, raising money as they could. It was not a church-wide organization. It was called the Women's Missionary Society. It continued as the Women's Missionary Society until 1952, and at that General Assembly, they passed a resolution that the Women's Missionary Society would become the World Missions Society. And they very graciously and kindly invited the men to come in and participate. Notice those words. That was not a slip of the tongue. It is exactly how it happened. The women owned missions in the local church. And they invited the men to come in. When you invite somebody to come in, who's in charge? You are, right? It's your home. It's your place. Now, I'm not being critical. I'm trying to be honest, but to hopefully open our eyes to where we've come, because we have come a long way. And when we opened that in 1952, you would have thought there would have been a major shift in what was going on in the Church of the Nazarene and how we do missions. And in reality, nothing changed. Absolutely nothing changed. For 20 years, nothing changed. 20 years is a long time. But in 1972, we elected our very first male to serve on the General Council. His name was Paul Gammersfelter. When Paul was elected to the General Council, it only took him 2 years to create an opportunity for men to become involved in missions. He created Men in Missions. Remember that? I remember that really well. I was a pastor in 1972, and I remember when the denomination started Men in Missions. It was not until 1976, however, that a team actually went to a mission field, and they went to Mexico from Southern Nazarene University to build a building. So even though we had Men in Missions, we weren't really getting anything done until two years later. But then once they began to go and began to build buildings, men began to catch a vision and have gotten more and more and more involved in missions. And in today's church, there are almost as many men involved in missionary work as there are women in local churches. And it has tremendously changed the focus. Because the focus is no longer just on wrapping bandages and praying, but it is actually getting hands-on involvement in world missions, whether they're taking place in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, Ephrata, or wherever. It is men involved in the work of missions. It is so amazing because as this transition has taken place, pardon me, And as we have worked through many, many, by the way, we've had 5 name changes for the missions work in the Church of Nazarene. I think that's kind of amazing. That's a lot of name changes, isn't it? I'm not sure why they needed to change the name as many times as they did, but that's what we have done through the years. But as we have come to missions as we know them today, missions today has a profound vision for what is to happen. When I was sitting here on the platform, I thought, you know what, I should have put this on a slide and made it available to you. I will see that you get a copy of it. But the vision statement of Nazarene World Missions today says several things, and I want to simply share those with you because it really is what should be happening in every local church throughout the denomination around the world. It says, we will view the local church as the primary instrument to carry the good news to all nations. Wait a minute, we used to say that's what the denomination does. Remember, I shared with you the denomination administrated all missions? Not anymore. It's the local church. It's a big change. We will integrate missions throughout the life and the ministry of the local church is point number 2. Number 3 is we will increase opportunities for family involvement, cross-generational mission experiences. We will provide increased networking, training, and accountability of church leaders. We will encourage diversity in cultures, gender, and generations among the leaders at all levels. We will give our financial resources with greater purpose, resolve, and sacrifice. We will partner with New Church Starts, resourcing them in missions. And we will pray with passion in our hearts and purity in our lifestyles. We will proclaim the ultimate goal of missions, all nations to worship Him. Wow, what a mission statement. Much, much, much broader than our usual 2, 3, 4, 5 words that we have as mission statements. But world evangelism is taking the message of God around the world. But we have really caught a vision of what Jesus said when He said, go to your hometown first. It's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And we have been reminded that our real work is right here where we live. We look at how we raise money for world missions, and it's always been we take money to give it to them, to send to the field. We at our church at Effort are learning that when we take faith promise, which is what we call it and what you call it, or the WEF fund, as some call it, or World Evangelism Fund, all of that is done to support missions. And we are taking a tiny slice of that and raising additional money in addition, but we actually take some of the WEF offering or the faith promise offering and say, this must go here to Effort of Pennsylvania to establish missions. We have become a church of multiple campuses. We have at current 3 campuses and 2 in process of being developed. Why are we doing that? Because we can't afford to plant churches. We can establish campuses very cost effectively. But if we try to plant churches like we've traditionally planted churches, we have to go and we get a few people together. And one of the first things we begin to do is to look for a building or a property, and we begin to go into the building business. Well, that's not what we're doing anymore. We're looking for people, bringing them together. We provide them all the resources they need to grow a church, but we let that building piece become a whole separate entity. It has nothing to do with establishing a church. Do you know where we learn that? On the mission field. On the mission field, we have literally hundreds of churches that meet under a tree or under a shed or just wherever. The biggest deal right now in Jesus' film is that they have these plastic tents is the best way I think you can call them. It's kind of the tarpaulins, you know, those blue things that we get here. They can be blue or brown or whatever color. And they stretch those out on a framework. And now that's the church where they're planting Jesus Film churches. Do you know you can do that in an hour or less? Instead of spending all of our money to build churches, we're investing our money to build lives for the kingdom of God and getting them immediately involved in reaching other people for Christ. What a transformation in the church. We are learning from them how to do it. And we're seeing God do amazing things. But our World Evangelism Fund is the essential lifeblood between the local church and missionaries. They are obviously winning more people than we are, because there's more Nazarenes in world areas than there are in the United States and Canada, the two commonly considered to be the sending nations. But pastoral and lay involvement in missions has allowed this transformation to take place, so that missions that used to be out there are coming home to the United States in some amazing ways. And so when I begin to pray and say, Lord, what is it you want me to give? What is it you want me to put on my commitment card? I know that I am not only committing to missions that are somewhere beyond me, but they're also the things that are happening around me. Not as normal church work, but as mission endeavors into the local community. So let's talk about that for just a minute. When I walked through Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, I was given instructions. We're going to do prayer walks. But when we do our prayer walks today, we're not going to just walk and pray. We're going to walk and pray, and then we're going to talk to people about Jesus Christ. If you don't talk to anybody today about Jesus Christ, you've failed in your mission, because we're sending you out to prayer walk, and that means go out and present the gospel. It was the most productive day of my life as far as winning people to Christ one-on-one. It changed my life. Because our American idea of a prayer walk is what? Walk and pray. The Africans say, that doesn't do anybody any good. If you're going to walk and pray, you walk with your eyes open, and you ask God to lead you to those people in your own community that are ready, willing to talk to you about who Jesus is and what he's doing in your life and in your church and your community and all of those things. I've been living in the community I live in for 20 years, and my neighbor says to me, I've never had a neighbor that works as much as you do. He said, you leave by 7 o'clock in the morning, you get home all hours of the night, and that's pretty much been my life until I retire. But when I retired, I said, Lord, I drew on my experience in Africa, and I said, Lord, I want to begin to touch my neighbors for Jesus Christ. I didn't have that time when I was pastoring. I just didn't have time. I took my walks before they got up in the morning. And in just this last week, I've had an opportunity to talk to three of my neighbors, two of which I got to share with them what God's doing. I said, God, this is what I experienced in Africa. This is missions coming home with me to where I live. And that's what God wants it to do, isn't it? He wants what we learned there. We used to remember wrap bandage, send everything there. And now we want to take what we're learning there, because they're doing a better job than we are, and apply it here so that we can turn this country back around to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me how God has worked in some unique ways, not only in Ephrata, and I'll talk a couple of things maybe as time allows, and I'm watching that clock up there, and I'm supposed to be finished at 10 till, right? Something like that, okay? But I want to show you a couple of videos. One is a video from Charleston, South Carolina. If we could do the story of the superbus. Do we have that ready to go? Okay, we have it ready to go. I want you to watch this and listen carefully to what is said. It takes about 3 minutes or four. Ready?
If you could reach 30 people who would never step foot in your church, would you? We want to tell you about a program that works. This is our super bus, and this is a program that will work for you. It works for us, and we want to tell you all about it. Super bus is, well, some people would think when you say bus, a bus program where you go out and pick up children. But we have found that if we go into neighborhoods to pick up children, that we might get one or two out of a neighborhood. But we decided that we would try something new and different, and that was to take the church to the community. So instead of loading the bus up and taking kids to church, we decided to have church on the bus and in the area surrounding the bus.
We say that our church is our community, and when we go into the community, our bus is our classroom, and we have concepts and values that we teach that are biblical principles, and that's how we start our Super Bus program. We teach rules, respect, responsibility, relationship with the Lord, love of Jesus, education, education, education. The managers may not be all excited about relationship with the Lord and love of Jesus, but you say rules, respect, responsibility, they're right on board with us. We're really excited because our children know these values. From 2 to 12 to 20 and all the adults, we all know the rules, respect, responsibility thing. But something that's really important is we believe with a relationship with the Lord and a good education, we teach a great work ethic and a responsible attitude that we live in America and these kids can do and be anything that they want. And we believe that we can change the futures of every one of our kids because of what we teach.
So Super Bus is where that we go into a neighborhood, we take our bus, we also take pop-up canopies and we put them around our bus and use those for classrooms and shelters, and it really adds to the excitement of what we're doing. We have a lesson, we have prayer, we play games, we do crafts, and we have snacks, and we have a great time. We see a lot of smiles, a lot of fun, and our workers, they don't see this as a job or something difficult. They see it as an enjoyable experience being in the community with their neighbors and their kids.
Now we have 6 neighborhoods, and we have more than 150 children, and that doesn't even count their families, and they come too. We also have worship services in the neighborhood, which is really great. Our first worship service, we had 62 people present, 13 people got saved, and 22 kids sang the special music. Today, we had another worship service, and we had 82 today. It was wonderful.
The thing that is so different after 30 years in ministry is that I'm having people, and we're having people, stop us on the street to tell us thank you for what you're doing in our community. The parents see that we're really, really trying to help. And we've seen the children progress as, just in amazing ways. The thing I want to tell pastors, most pastors struggle with outreach. Most churches struggle with outreach. What can we do? And we think of all the things that we can do. Well, I've tried many of those things, and a lot of times I'm left just feeling guilty because it didn't work or it failed somehow, and occasionally it would work to some degree. We've learned that if I go to a community to pick up kids, I might get one or two. But this way, we get them all. If they're at home, they come. So what would I say to a pastor that's considering this? This works.
Sing with me, okay? Jesus loves me, this I know.
We'll stop there simply because of time. That, by the way, that's my brother who pastored for 30 years and was totally frustrated. And what he said in the beginning of that video is what he has experienced. He said, we work so hard to bring people to the church. We never got more than one or two. And when he said to me on the phone when we were setting this up, I wanted to be sure I could show his video and it was okay with him. He said, Bob, when we go into a church or into a community and establish a Super Bus community church, and they call it a church even though they don't meet every Sunday, it's a different model. He said, we literally get every child in those trailer courts. And that's what they call them there. every child will be there. Can you imagine going to a community and touching everybody? And very often when they go, the mothers will be standing out there waiting on them, many times with tears in their eyes, saying to them, "You all are changing our kids, and you're changing our community." Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Well, why are we sitting here week after week and never finding a way to get out there? And I'm not scolding when I say that. I'm just simply saying that's been my experience. We sit here week after week and say, well, you know, we really need to reach the world for Christ. And Ted says, when we left the church and took it with us, left the building behind, took it with us and went into the community, suddenly we're reaching people for Christ. 16 in one service, none of whom had ever had a relationship with Christ. God's doing something. One other story. We're going to, at District Assembly, you're going to see a great story if you go to District Assembly of the Cowboy Church. But unfortunately, we don't have time for it today. But this last fall in October, we went on a missions cruise, preparation cruise, we called it. And then in January, we fulfilled that by going to three different mission fields. We went to Cozumel, Mexico, to Belize City, and to Roatan, Honduras. We were only there one day, but in that one day, because we had planned it a year in advance, met with them 4 months in advance, told them what we wanted to do, our efforts excited the nationals. And they said, well, if you're going to come, we need to get to work and we need to do our part. And so at Cozumel, Mexico, they did a maximum mission and they brought in 54 Mexicans from all over Mexico. In the 4 days before we arrived, they had the Jesus film and many other activities that brought people together in the city park that we arranged for while we were there. By the time we got there, they had 24 converts. The second day, the day after the Jesus film was shown and 24 people came forward, the lady who lived directly across from the park came to the pastor that was there and the district superintendent and said to him, I understand you want to plant a church in Cozumel, Mexico. Yeah, that's our intent. She said, well, my house is right there, and if you'll go a slide forward, one more, that's her daughter, that house, the white house there in the dead center. She said, my house is across the street. I would love for you to establish the Church of the Nazarene in my home. And so in one week, we established a church in Cozumel, Mexico. It takes us years to do that here. Why? Because we are so sure the only way we can get it done is the way we've always done it. And God is saying, what I said to the group last night, the power of God is in His Word. And when the Holy Spirit moves on His Word, He changes lives. And He will build His church just like He said He would. I will build my church, and hell itself will not be able to tear it down. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of church that we ought to be and that I want to be a part of. You remember this card? One of the ways we do that is to still join in what's going on in missions around the world. Because they're teaching us. Ted learned about taking the church into the community when he went to Guatemala. And they go into their community and have church someplace that there's not a church. And he said, we can do that here in Charleston, South Carolina. And we might actually make progress. He now has 6 different preaching points in the community. They've expanded to York, Pennsylvania, and 3 other cities around the country in 2.5 to 3 years. Why? Because he took the church out of the church. And God's saying, join me. Take the church out of the church. Wherever there's a need, go there. Share the word. Watch what God does. I had about 12 other stories that I don't have time to tell you, and you're way too weary to listen to them all. So we'll stop there. But take your card, and we're going to pray a word. And after we pray, and you have completed your card, we're going to have the ushers to come, and they're going to receive these. Would you bow with me as we pray together? Lord Jesus, throughout this morning, we have all gathered for one purpose, and that's to talk about missions. And missions are so different in today's world than they were when I was a little boy. I listened to the missionary come and tell mission stories and caught up in many times more about the animals than I was about the converts. Today's missions is here as much as it's there. The United States and Canada have been declared as mission fields. We have a district missionary, Chuck, on our district. And Chuck goes around and helps to plant churches like the Cowboy Church. We're going to hear about at District Assembly. And we're going to see amazing things as we really learn the concepts of what missions look like in the United States of America. But guide us, Lord, because as we give this offering this year, we will do it as a commitment to you. It's a faith promise. This year, I believe God would challenge me to give, and we're going to put that on that line, and we're going to do the best we can to trust you, Father, to meet that goal and to glorify God in doing it. And we pray that it will challenge us and challenge our finances so that we don't get lost in what we have, but rather in what we need to do for the kingdom. In Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen. Complete your card, if you will. Just tear the end of it off and then just drop it in. It doesn't have a place for your name. You don't need to put your name on it. Just tear it off, put it in the plate. I think you're going to play for us while they receive these. That's what he told me. Did he tell you? He told me that. So if he didn't tell you, he did tell me. So are you ready? Ushers, are you ready to receive them? If you got the plates, would you come forward? Everybody ready? I think we're ready. Okay. Would you? You want yours back. The pastor's going to help us today. Praise God. Thank the Lord. He got his heart. Good. Good.